So I just went to Cardinal Cafe. I love Cardinal Cafe.
Where's the Cardinal Cafe?
Copley, right by where Schistler's used to be.
Okay.
And they have a phenomenal bakery, which is the real reason I went there, because today is Mandy and I's 20th anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
I was there.
You were there?
I was there on your
wedding. Day. I'm like, you were at Cardinal? I didn't see you.
No, it was a small place.
No,
I was there. You remember me, Joe? I did your wedding.
I do, yeah. The wedding full of J's. We had my pastor do part of it. At the time, I was at a different church, and his name, it starts with a J. You're Jeff. I'm Joe. I had Jordan, JD, and Jesse in the wedding party. John was the usher. I mean, it was like J's all around.
Nice.
And so it's just the way, and even Jason's our producer, so we're just keeping that going. But,
so you went and got a donut in celebration of your anniversary?
Yeah, I just sat there by myself and ate a donut.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
On my anniversary, I took myself out to dinner. I was like, Heidi, I'm going to go celebrate our anniversary.
No, I grabbed a dessert for us to share later. So, because they have, honestly, it's one of the better bakeries around, at least that I'm aware
of. So that led to you getting this ice,
absolutely.
Sugar and cream?
Absolutely. Okay, yep. That's how that works. Yeah, when they're like, do you want anything else?
Yeah.
That's not what I'm here for. But
I can be a sucker for that. There was a family that when we were doing Christmas Eve services, they brought in cake pops.
Oh,
I am a sucker for cake pops.
They're very
and they,
good.
They gave... they brought it in for like the band and everybody, but then they brought in like a box for my family.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I think between, I live 9 miles from the Jet Road building. I think I pounded four before I got home.
That's awesome. I got on.
And then you think you're going to sit there that night and regret, but I didn't regret one bit of it.
No, there are certain times when comfort food does exactly what it's supposed to do and it's totally okay.
That's right.
Yeah. No, someone gave me a coffee cake, which by name, I'm like, cool. And I had no context. I didn't even know this was the thing. They just handed it to me and said, Merry Christmas. I'm like, cool. Well, then I had some later and I'm like, oh, this is good.
So this is funny. I think I saw them give you yours and I was like, that coffee cake looks delicious. So they made me one the next day.
That's
and
amazing.
It was
it
delicious.
Was so
it was
good.
So good.
Yeah, like damn, that's yeah. I was surprised.
Cheryl, you know Ralph and Cheryl Hamlin.
Yeah,
Cheryl makes me a carrot cake for my birthday.
Oh wow!
I'm telling you, it first of all, it weighs like 40 pounds.
Yeah, they're dense cakes.
It is the best carrot cake I've ever had. She should go on a baking show with that carrot
wow.
cake.
Wow,
it's. Amazing.
Wow.
And it gets, I devour it. My birthday's in May. I spend the whole month of June battling type 2 diabetes. Because I just eat that carrot cake.
That's amazing.
It's so good.
It's funny when, this is a good thing, but like you're like this and my father-in-law's like this. When it's their birthday, like this is the dessert that I want. And my father-in-law's is German chocolate cake.
Yeah.
And he,
I'm
he,
carrot cake for
and,
sure.
Yeah, he. That's what he asks for. He's a chocolate guy. He specifically likes that. And it's funny. My sister-in-law and I were like, "Cool, German chocolate cake." You know, it's not our thing, but
I'm not a big cake guy. But the two things I love is I love Cheryl's carrot cake.
Uh huh.
And then my other favorite cake is we called it sherbet cake.
Ooh.
So my mom would get a tub of sherbet and a thing of angel food cake. And you put a layer of sherbet down, and then a layer of angel food cake, a layer of sherbet, and then you freeze it.
Okay.
And those were our birthday cakes. So I introduced this to my kids. They love it. And I think it was one of my daughter-in-laws was like, is this some recipe? And I was like, no, this is poor people cake is what it is. We didn't have any money. But, like, you get a taste. It's like it feels like – it's that comfort. It was like, this feels like mom somehow, you know? And and now our kids want it. And Heidi's like, you guys, you really want this? And they're like, yeah, they love it. So it's so fun.
Some of my favorite memories of my mom, she was actually a cake baker. Like, she would do weddings and, like, graduations, retirements.
Okay,
like
big stuff.
Yeah, and she would... You basically draw a string across the top of a pan to, like, make the cakes more even.
Yeah.
Because they kind of, you know, bubble in the oven. Well, that cake... is the most perfectly moist cake in the whole cake, but it gets cut off and not included. So she would just plop that in a bowl you know, when she was done. And then us boys would like grab some of that and then just slather some of her icing on it. And in particular, whenever she made banana cake, which hers was like a natural flavored banana cake.
That sounds good.
And then whenever she made a strawberry cake, which is a naturally strawberry flavored cake, you'd drop a little bit of her icing on it. And like that was, you were just so glad when mom had a cake order if she was making
those.
Joe,
I feel hungry, but kind of bloated and full of shame.
All at the same time? Yeah. Through a conversation. Oh, that's awesome. Well, speaking of shame.
That's mixed messages, everyone. Thanks for listening.
That's right. See you next time. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. Well, here we are. Typically, in January, people are trying not to eat all the things we're talking about.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, we just broke everybody's diet.
Everybody that's on a treadmill right now is like, yeah,
cake.
I'm done.
Goes carrot cake. Carrot cake. Every push-up, man. Carrot cake.
That's right.
Do a burpee, carrot cake.
I like this plan. Oh, it's so good. Well, thanks for checking out today's episode. Stick with us. The whole thing won't be about food. this is Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue. I'm Joe Caruso, and we are glad you're here, and especially if you've hung on this long. With so many voices out there, whether it's the news, social media, even comedians and friends, it is tough to know what to think or how to make decisions. So we want to offer this resource to cut through the noise and help get through all the mixed messages around us, finding our way to Jesus. Let's get into it. Jeff, this season, as we started off the new year, we've been kicking off this idea called Rooted, where we've gotten, this is such a ridiculous thing, but we've gotten thousands of people connected to it, and it's humbling.
It is humbling, and I would say it has... all joking aside, it has exposed an appetite.
Yeah, yep.
A spiritual appetite, and it's been a absolutely mad scramble to get everybody organized and in groups, but it's been like a blast to do that. So yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. The response to it.
It's super fun. Well, one of the things that most of the folks that are saying yes to this are doing is actually a big win of this whole thing, which is they're actually diving into, like, doing these rhythms with other people.
Yeah.
And so whether they formed a group out of some coworkers or some neighbors, or they joined a group here at the church or some combination therein, Jeff, I'm just going to ask it straightforward. Why is being rhythmically connected to God, stepping into these different disciplines, behaviors, actions, these devotional actions to God, why is that important instead of just like learning and understanding the information?
Yeah, because relationships take energy, and in order for them to be healthy, they have to grow and deepen. Hmm. And so you could ask that. If I said to you, Joe, you can show up and you can talk to your daughter for 35 minutes a week and then ignore her the rest of the time. Mm-hmm. Is there any prayer on planet Earth that you have the relationship with your daughter that you have?
None.
Or with Mandy?
Right,
you know? No. So we know this. We know that if I don't invest relationship, this is why, like, loving parents, you know, reorganize their priorities to be with their kids. This is why you and Mandy have a date night on your anniversary. Mm-hmm. This is why you get together.
Ironically, it's starting our Rooted group tonight. Oh. But well, we will. Well,
it's a celebration
that's
with
right.
people.
That's right.
Yeah, the wedding also included other people. So. Yeah. but like I had last night, I had Heidi's out of town right now, but I had some friends over I hadn't seen for a while. Mm-hmm. Because we know that if we don't get in the same room with people mm-hmm. and make time, that we lose relationship.
Yep.
And that's our interaction with God. God is not someone that you get to know by osmosis.
No.
And he's not a religion. He's not a box that you check. Jesus is a relationship. And leaning into that relationship and saying, I'm going to make time for it, I'm going to prioritize it, I'm going to give the best of myself to it is a massively important thing. So that's why, in addition, it's what the scripture teaches.
Yep.
We gather together, we spend time with God, we pray, we walk with God, we love the people around us, we share our faith, we give our finances, we worship, like all those seven rhythms. We didn't make those up. Those are pulled out from the scripture.
Absolutely.
And It is what allows you to have a healthy relationship with God. I would say this. Can you do the seven rhythms and not have a relationship with God? Of course you can.
Yeah.
Can you have a relationship with God and have no rhythms of relationship? Of course you cannot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so these are just the ones that we kind of set out. And it brings God into the everyday presence, into your everyday presence, and it brings God into like the everyday nuances of your life. And that's why it's wildly important.
Yeah. And Jeff, like, walk us through how that starts to take effect. Because when I know something, like, for instance, you played some JV baseball back in the day.
Yeah.
I didn't get past freshman level baseball. but, like, I knew in my head, for instance, like, how to hit a baseball, you know, eyes on the ball, back elbow up, stand this way, swing a little early. You can't swing on time or you're too late. Like, I knew these things in my head. But that's why I never made it past freshman baseball. I could not hit a baseball to save my life.
Yeah.
And so, like, where does it shift from, like, I'm learning these things to, like, oh, this is starting to transform something inside of me? Like, how do we start to get to that place where something's actually happening inside of us?
It's when you allow the rhythms that create proximity to turn into relationships.
Okay.
So there's nothing magical about daily devotions or prayer. Daily devotions, like, for instance, there's nothing magical about that. But if I don't have that rhythm of being in proximity with God, then I can never have a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. If I think that me having that rhythm is like every day I meditate and I write some things in my journal, like, that's not it. It's getting to know the heart and the mind of God.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to be teaching here on the weekend in a little bit how we have wrong or incomplete views of God. Mm-hmm. And so the three categories I like to focus on is inspecting God, disappointed God, and distant God. And when I have those preconceived ideas and I accept them as truth, I will create ways to interact with God that have nothing to do with relationships. Mm. So if I think God's inspecting God, I'll keep a set of rules. If I think he's a disappointed God, I'll keep a set of bare minimums. If I think God is a distant God, then I will create a religion. None of that is a relationship.
Right.
So for me to know Heidi, I have to be with her. And then I have to allow that with her to be something more than a business interaction. I spend more time with you in a given day than I do Heidi.
Sure, yeah.
Right?
So yeah, I like Mandy a lot more than you.
Yeah, same thing. You know, but like you and I have a real and a deep friendship, mm-hmm. but it's a different, obviously, with Heidi. So it's not just I'm in her presence.
Right.
It's that I'm hearing from her. So Heidi, I actually like it. She kind of, when I get home, I'm usually pretty shot. She's usually somewhat energized, and she'll tell me all the events of the day. What I did today was this and this and this, and I went to these people at the gym, and I did this and this, and then I did this with business, I did this and this, and by the way, the dog and this and this. And she's just kind of chit-chatty there at the end of the day. Well, I don't zone out. I'm knowing her. She's communicating with me. Mm-hmm. And then when I talk back to her, I'm not filling her, well, you should have put this in that account and you should have sold that for that much. I'm not doing business planning. I'm communicating. This was stressful. This hurt my feelings. This made me happy. And it's what leads to a deep, deep relationship. So proximity gives you an opportunity. There's no opportunity without proximity, mm-hmm. but it gives you an opportunity. Where it becomes rich is when I take advantage of the opportunity. So kind of ask yourself this question. When you read the Bible, have you ever tried to hear from God? Mm-hmm. When you pray and you ask God for things, have you ever experienced God talking back to you? Mm-hmm. When you read the scripture and you glean the information, you know, Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, have you ever looked at that and thought, I wonder what it tells me about God that Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho and why he fought it the way he fought it. Mm-hmm. Like, what does it mean? And when I allow myself to cross those lines, now I'm receiving from God, I'm giving to God, and that's what a relationship is.
Something like that just actually happened to me. I actually had stumbled back upon the, I wasn't like specifically reading in the account of Samuel, but I stumbled upon Saul's story. And I was just thinking about it a little bit, but not really giving it much thought at that time. Took Ainsley to go see that new David movie, which is really good, by the way.
Yeah, I've heard good things about
it. It's really well done. But while I'm watching this, God brought that passage. Now, obviously, I'm watching a story about David and Saul, but he brought that passage to mind, and it actually sparked, like, later that night, like, me and the Lord had a pretty long conversation. But you can't have that conversation about very specific things if you don't start with, like, it didn't happen during the Bible reading.
Yeah.
That was like just the platform that apparently got my heart ready to receive something. I experienced something in life. It brought that back. And I'm like, I need to go spend time with God about this. And so it was just fascinating how if you're not in that foundational time with God, you can't clearly have those experiences with him because you don't know for sure whether it's him interacting with you or not.
Yeah.
The enemy is not saying, you should go back to the scripture and really dive into the truth of that. That's definitely the Lord, you know, pulling me back into it.
This is why it's a practical piece of advice with this is, and maybe you guys have heard me say this before, but because I say it a lot, when you read the Bible, so if you've never read the Bible before, I always recommend you start with the book of John.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think you really get to know who Jesus is and what he's like in the book of John. So when you read the Bible, read every passage three times. Read it once to get the information out of it, right? Jesus changed the water into wine. And like, oh, I didn't know that, okay? the second time you read it and ask this question, what is Jesus showing me about himself? Or what is God like? What does it mean or say about Jesus that he was invited to a wedding?
Yeah.
What's it mean or say about Jesus that his mom, when they ran out of wine, his mom was like, go get Jesus, he'll help. What does it mean when Jesus is like, Mom, it's not time for me to reveal my glory yet, and his mom ignored him? It's so funny.
It is.
And she's like, do whatever he says. And like, yeah. She like drops a mic and leaves the room. So what does that say about his humanity?
Mm-hmm.
What does that say about a son-mother relationship? What does that say? And then what does it mean that, like, Jesus did it?
Right.
He bailed them out. There's a whole bunch of context there, cultural context, but he bailed them out. And the host was like, why did you keep the good wine till last? So I always say that the only people on planet Earth that know what wine's supposed to taste like are the people that drank it at that wedding.
Yep.
Right? So what Jesus like? Then read it a third time and say, how does Jesus want me to be like him?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean to me? Well, now what I'm doing is I'm hearing from God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing from God. And the word of God takes root in your heart. And then what happens is you're watching a movie with your daughter and God's like, hey, this is some ways I want you to be like me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is different than I read my Bible this morning, or right. I went to church.
Yep.
I have people, you probably have this too, Joe, because you speak a lot here too. They'll listen to the sermons two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's interesting. And they're like, no, it's the way they learn.
Yeah.
They're not obsessed with me or you. They're just like, no, that's how I learn things. I just keep it kind of going in the background. But what they're doing is they're pursuing.
Yes.
A relationship with God. Well, the Bible promises that when we draw close to God, he draws close to us. That's the way a relationship works.
Yep.
If I'm pursuing you as a friend, in a healthy context, you'll start to pursue me as a friend.
Right.
And you get the depth of relationship.
Yeah, it's incredible the change that happens inside of us when we make that subtle shift, Jeff. Just the intentionality of, I'm not checking off the list. I'm looking for a place to connect. I heard somebody once say, for instance, if you liked what Jeff just said about those three things, which I personally do love, they said head, heart, and hands is a fast way to remember it.
That's a good one.
So just like what is it that I didn't know, the information that you talked about the first time, the heart, how do I connect with the heart of God? What am I understanding about him and how he connects with me? And then the third one, like, what do I put my hands to? What do I do with what I just learned? Because sometimes it's like, well, maybe you should pray for your enemy today. You know.
And what I would say is, I struggle with this sometimes in my devotions. I know the Bible super well. Like I have like a doctorate in Bible stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I've read this before.
Sure, a couple times.
Yeah. I've preached on it before. Mm-hmm. I've studied it before. I've taught on it before. Well, when I get in that mode, I actually get convicted. I'm like, that would be like me, like, I know what Heidi's going to say.
Mm-hmm.
I know what she's going to I've actually become callous. And in that, and when I'm that way, I need to read and do less and listen more. And I think this is where you get into like the be still and know that I'm God type things, where I'm reading I read a passage. I like to sit by my window and watch the river that goes by my house. And I read that passage and I just sit there. And this is what meditating on scripture is. I'm thinking about it and I'm like waiting to hear from God. Sometimes that is not profound, sometimes it's like it's where 30 and 30 came from.
Sure.
It's where the idea for Rooted came from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's where, like, when you hear a person that you trust spiritually, when they say they heard from God or God showed them, they don't mean like sensationalism, like, you know, TV and internet stuff.
Yeah.
They just mean like, no, God put something on their heart because I was sitting there trying to listen to him. I actually find it's harder for me to listen than study.
Sure, yeah.
And so my spiritual discipline is not so much like read through the Bible in a year. I've done that many times. I highly, highly recommend it, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like read this part and like be quiet and mm-hmm. listen to me.
Yep.
So that's the growth and that's the maturity. And that never goes away, and when that goes away or you think you've nailed it, you're in trouble.
Yep.
When it's not a part of your life and you don't have any relational rhythms with God, you're in trouble.
Yep.
And like the Rooted stuff in particular that we're doing, the seven rhythms, that's just a kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you'll do great practicing those seven rhythms the rest of your life, but it's just trying to get you moving.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's... if you go back to like marriage, when Heidi and I were dating, we did very, very intentional things. We don't as much anymore. And sometimes our kids are like, all you guys ever do is work on the house. And we're like, hey, we're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
We're enjoying being with each other. Because we found, you know, 33 years later, like we found our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, this is what we like to do, and we feel close and enjoy each other because we're studying up walls in our basement.
Sure, yeah, it really is like where anything that you learn in your head starts to become real. Like what I love about what you're saying is like, It's not enough that I just know Mandy's Chipotle order.
Yeah.
Like, I can't say I have a good marriage because I can list out these 10 things that I know about my wife or even these 100 things that I know about my wife. And she's like, congratulations. Do you care about how my day went today?
Yeah.
No, because you want double chicken and, you know, like, it's like, no, the knowledge only goes so far if you're not willing to put it into the relationship. And that's where these rhythms are meant to push us. It's like get us over the hump of I know some things about God, or worse yet, I have some assumptions of what I think I know about God.
Yeah.
And it begins to push us into like, oh no, I'm starting to connect with him, and I'm starting to see what he's actually asking of my life, which is going to become the most fruitful things we could ever give our life to.
It's fun.
It's super fun. Well, if you're in this Rooted season with us, like, go for it. Like, continue to just jump into these rhythms, have those conversations in the groups that you're in, and let's just watch God begin to spark or rekindle some really neat closeness in your life. If you have questions you'd like us to tackle on the podcast, you can head over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages and send them our way. Actually, Jeff, it was fun. This week alone, I bet we got 7 questions.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so like it...
load them up, guys, because yep, Joe has to research them. And honestly, he doesn't do much around here.
No, nothing. I actually only record this podcast.
That's right. How hard is 30 minutes a week?
But we would also love to hear how these conversations are helping you. So don't be a stranger. Reach out and let us know. And if you're enjoying the podcast, subscribe, follow, rate, and review. Help others find it too. And of course, we'd love to see you at Grace this weekend, or even begin to check us out online if you're looking for a church family to be a part of. Well, thanks for jumping in with us today. And thanks for jumping into those rhythms with God as we continue to seek God's voice through all those mixed messages around us. We'll see you next time.